I'm going to talk a little bit, just coming back to a verse we brought in at the beginning of the year, thinking it was something for us to meditate on and seek the Lord on during the year. And it's out of 3 John, verses 1 and 2. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. It's about living with a prosperous soul, so that in everything we're right. And having just been over to the States and been with lots of folks we love and enjoy being around, we thought, well, what, you know, we need to bring stuff back, and we have been sharing stuff. But we actually had Chris Vallotton speak twice, the same message. I think we've heard it 3 times from Chris, actually, this message. Dan was there, actually, one of the times he preached, about how God wants to heal the whole of our being, and he actually heals our soul. And sometimes we forget about the soul. We think about coming to God, and we might get physical healing in our bodies, and that's something he intends for us. And we know that our spirits are healed, and we come into a place of glory with God. But we don't often talk about what happens with our soul. And Greek thinking used to be that the soul was evil. And some of that thinking got into the church, and we kind of suppress our soul instead of actually believing that our soul can be redeemed. So I thought we'd just look at that subject again. And when we talk about our body, soul and spirit, we can't divide ourselves up and say, oh, there's my body and there's my spirit, and somewhere over here is my soul. We are just one being. But our soul is the bit where our mind is, our will and our emotions. And a lot of the battleground that goes on around our lives is in the mind. And our emotions pull at us and tug at us. And our will caves in to emotional stresses. And so if we're not walking with a healthy soul, we'll find ourselves pulled in. So let's see if we can move towards what is a healthy soul. So, some conditions of the soul. And the Lord just directed me to Psalm 34 this week. And I hadn't really thought what was in Psalm 34 when I was thinking about what was I was going to share about today. But interestingly, we start Psalm 34 with this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. My soul will make a boast in the Lord. So with your emotions, with your mind, with your being, you boast about God. That's called worship. It's called praise. And it says there is a result of that, that actually when that comes from our inner man, comes from our inner being like that, people hear it and rejoice. That's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. It says the humble. But people hear it and they rejoice. So that's one thing that David expresses about a condition of the soul. We can have a soul that is grateful, a soul that is thankful, a soul that acknowledges who God is, a soul that, having seen who he is, actually wants to worship, wants to bow before him, wants to come with humility before him. And I think that's just an awesome thing to do. It's been fun. We've been doing some leadership training of team leaders at work, and I remember 2 or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, I don't know how long, many weeks ago, one thing I left them with as homework was, actually, when you get up in the morning and you think, oh, it's going to be a tough day today, and you start thinking of that, actually do some mind speak and instead think of 3 things to be thankful for instead. And these are non-Christians. We're talking about just team leaders at work. And I said, think of 3 things that you can be thankful for. And that's a good prescription for any of us to take, that actually when we wake up in the morning, the first thing we should do is actually think of things we can be thankful for. And if we know Jesus, if we've been saved, if we've been redeemed, then we have a lot to thank him for. But even for those guys at work who don't yet know the Lord, and I say yet, don't yet know the Lord, they have things to be thankful for. They're probably in a comfortable bed. They've probably got a roof that doesn't leak. They're probably in a warm house. They might have family and friends that they like. They might have a car they can work. They've got a job because they're coming to work. So there's things they can be thankful for. And that's true of all of us. And when we actually turn our hearts to thankfulness, it ministers from our soul and does something in our soul. But a bit further down in the same psalm, David writes this: the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. The Lord is near the brokenhearted. That speaks of the soul, the condition of the soul. And actually, if we think of our own lives, And if we think of our neighbours and we think of the folks around this neighbourhood, there's a lot of brokenheartedness around. There'd be very few of us in this room that haven't or aren't experiencing brokenheartedness. It's a condition of being in relationships, and we're born to be in relationships. And very often, relationships disappoint us. And I won't ask for a show of hands, because we'll all be putting hands and legs and everything up to know that there's been times where we've actually been hurt. And it wounds our soul, as well as our spirit. It says that those who are crushed in spirit. But it says the Lord is near. The Lord is near to the broken. He has regard for those who are wounded. I want you to hear that this morning. The Lord is near. He has regard for those who are brokenhearted. He cares for the wounded soul. There's lots of lovely scriptures about the tenderness he shows to it. He says a bruised reed he does not despise. He carries those who are hurting as though they're young lambs, and he carries them in his bosom. And get that picture in your heart when you're feeling battered, that the God of heaven actually has regard for the state of your heart. He's not wagging a finger over you saying, pull yourself together. He picks you up and he carries you. And many of us will have seen that footprints picture where there's one set of footprints in the sand, and there were two when we were walking alongside the Lord, and then there's only one set of footprints. And we say, why is there one set? Because that's when you were hurt and he picked you up and carried you. And that's our God. He has regard for the state of our soul, for the state of our spirit. That's why Jesus came. He came knowing that we couldn't fix that on our own. He knew we needed help to do it. But how is your heart? Where are you at today? Are you still carrying wounds, looking for some healing? Because God is here to bring healing. Disappointments, emotional pain, broken relationships, personal losses. Many issues of life leave us with pain. Don't want it to make it sound a depressing message, because there's hope. I'm just saying those are reality. And if we deny that reality, deny the condition of our soul, we're not going to get help. If we just put a brave face on it, grin and bear it, stiff upper lip and all that, and just press through, we're not actually going to get to the place where our souls find healing. There's times where we need to be vulnerable. And we need to have people we can be vulnerable with, people we trust, people we love. And the best one of all is God himself. He's the best friend we can ever have. He's the one we can turn to when we're most vulnerable. And he's going to be there. He's going to be there. But sometimes, because we've prayed and we've asked God and we haven't heard or seen what we thought we should see, sometimes then we get disappointed with God. Am I allowed to say that in church? That it's possible that we might have been disappointed with God. Again, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Because the truth is, most of us have been there at some point, for some reason. Some more painful, more difficult than others. We prayed, believed with all our heart, and something hasn't gone the way we thought it would go. We hoped it would be different. In Proverbs 13:12 it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And if we've had hope and we haven't seen what comes out of it, it says it wounds our soul, makes the heart sick. But desire fulfilled is a tree of life. And we have a God, we have Jesus who says, come and ask me what you will. We talked about that house group this week, didn't we? And Jesus says, ask. And there's times when he says ask and he puts conditions on it. And there's times where he just said, just ask. And we need to be in a place where we cope with that and deal with that, because we ask and we don't always see the answers. We need to come to a place of understanding. I don't have clever answers. We had a good chat around that house group. And I think we came to the place where what we know is we have a Father in heaven who loves us, and a Jesus who's given everything to bring us into a better place. And actually we just need to lean on that. When we don't understand, when there's stuff we cannot figure out, we just need to lean on who he is. Trust and believe who he is. If I understood everything, if I thought I knew everything about God, I'd be God. Or I've got a really small God. He's way bigger than my heart could ever imagine. And his love is far more vast and far greater and he works for our good. It's what it says in the word. He works for our good. So if it isn't good yet, he hasn't finished working. He hasn't finished working, so trust him. Trust him, lean into him. Because he cares. How do I know? Because when Jesus came, he read out this verse, and this is a verse that's in the Old Testament. It's a verse that has gained new impetus in these days, is quoted a lot, and it's certainly one that touches our lives and we really believe is true. Because when Jesus spoke these words, he spoke it of himself, but he also spoke it of us, because we're his body. And he opened the scroll, it says, and he read these words. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. And he goes on and says, and to declare the favorable year of the Lord. And if you read it in Isaiah, it has a little bit in there that Jesus doesn't quote when he quotes that later on. He just says, it's now the favorable year of the Lord. He doesn't say, and the day of vengeance of our God. Because we've shifted covenant, we've changed. Because Jesus has come, and it's now a favorable time. And it is a favorable time when the Spirit of God is here in this room right now upon us and in us to do what? To bring good news to the afflicted, the wounded, to bind up the brokenhearted. Here we go, the wounds of the soul. We can bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives. So people who are held in chains, held by lies, held by snares of the enemy, held in cruel addictions and mental health issues, to declare liberty to them. And believe that it happens. And we're seeing this happen. We're just seeing incredible miracles happening around. And freedom to prisoners. I won't expand on that one. That's about forgiveness. It's about coming with forgiveness to God. But he declares there is freedom when he comes. In Psalm 147:3, it says he heals the brokenhearted and bands up their wounds. Just the favor of God is towards us because Jesus came. This is what the reading was about. The whole of Hebrews is about we've been transferred from that old covenant into a new covenant because of Jesus. A better deal. It's a better deal. It's a time of favor. It's a time when all this stuff can be brought before him and he'll deal with it. And yet, even one of the Old Testament prophets, Ezekiel, writes in Ezekiel 36:26, moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Wounds and pains in our spirit can actually cause us to become hard-hearted. And when we become hard-hearted, we lose hope and we give up and our faith struggles and we kind of go down a slippery slope. But the good news is he says, I come and I bind up the brokenhearted, and moreover and more than that, I'm going to give you a new heart. When Jesus comes, he gives us a new heart. And all the rubbish that's kept us captive and kept us broken, he says, we can change it. Don't let your heart become hard. Don't let it crossed over. Don't let unforgiveness, don't let that root that Carolyn read about, the root of bitterness, actually spring up because we break relationships and we get angry and we get frustrated. Let him give you that heart of flesh. Let him come and do a healing work in you. It's about learning to, I was going to use the phrase leaning into him. And as I've just been growing more and more in carrying and learning the presence of God, I just still find that the Holy Spirit is very gentle in his approach. In our Friday morning prayer time, I had a very powerful encounter with God. Just such a powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit. But to yield to that, I had to lean into it. I had to sense the Holy Spirit was there standing at the edge of my consciousness saying, Ian, I want your attention. I want you to pray for this. I need you now. Will you lend your spirit to me? And leaning in, saying, yes, 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 God, I'll lean in. And I was absolutely overwhelmed in the power of the Holy Spirit for about half an hour. And it's just an incredible experience. And those experiences there, but we have to lean in. We have to say, yes, Holy Spirit. Yes, when he's just there on the edge of our consciousness, just a gentle whisper, just that slight sense of, You're here, aren't you, Lord? He doesn't come and shout in your ear. He doesn't come and shake you like crazy and say, pay attention to me. We kind of do that to each other, but he doesn't. He comes and says, I'm here. Do you notice? Because there's a word in the Bible, it's repent, and repent means turn. And he wants us to live in constant repentance, which is a constant state of turning. Turn to his attention, turn to him. It's turning away from something and turning to something. Repentance isn't just turning away from sin and a broken life. It's turning to the answer. It's turning to Jesus. It's turning to that which is there. And he's there. But often we do a kind of 90 degree turn and wonder why we're still struggling instead of doing a 180 degree turn and giving him our attention. And I'm just finding and learning more and more how I give him that attention, how I lean into him and don't stay focused in the world. He comes to heal up our whole being. This is where Chris Vallotton's word came. It's kind of fun. And I saw this in Malachi, actually. It's fun when you kind of do word searches in the Bible and look at stuff. It says, but for you who fear my name, that is the Lord, of course, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, which is kind of cool, and you'll go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. Well, I haven't witnessed many of us doing that right now. But maybe we should. But that sense, is that, have you seen like spring lambs? Have you been in a field when spring lambs are? It's fun, isn't it? They're like just on springs. They're just a tigger on springs, and it says, yeah. Bounce, because you'll have cows in the field now by your house, won't you do? Yeah. And that kind of shouts of a joy of the soul, doesn't it? A joy that's like this freedom, this new birth. And it says that's what you're given. That's what you're given. And then, so that leaping, and this is where Chris Vallotton preached his word from. He used the prosperous soul verse, but he said, this is out of Acts 3 here, and I've put it on screen. Somebody was asking Peter and John as they went to the temple for help. They wanted some money because he was a beggar. Says, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene. Walk. Because he was a cripple. Cool. That time we started doing this. I haven't got anything, but I could give you what I've got. Get up and walk. And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. And with a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And the next verse is quite intriguing because it said, and all the people saw him what? Oh, hang on. The people, he entered the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And the people saw him walking and... Yeah. They didn't see him leaping. But it says he entered the temple... leaping. Because there's something about the freedom of the new heart in which he was leaping. His new found freedom. He was leaping. There was a healing to his soul. He was leaping. So God comes and redeems the whole being. He saved him because he could walk. His body was redeemed. He started leaping from inside of him, whether he was literally leaping. I don't know, that's what it says in the word, but people didn't notice that. Because there was joy in his heart because his soul had been touched. And he was praising God because his spirit had been turned to God and his spirit was redeemed. Jesus deals with the whole thing. And we need to let him deal with the whole thing. Getting saved isn't about getting to heaven. Getting saved is being introduced to the Father of heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and life. No one comes to the Father. He didn't say nobody gets to heaven but through me. He says nobody comes to the Father. We're introduced to a relationship. The one relationship that will work. The one relationship that will heal us. The one relationship that will satisfy our deepest longing in our soul. And he does. And he heals our soul. He heals our bodies. He heals our spirit. And heaven comes into us. Don't know if you're waiting to get to heaven. I'm already in heaven. I know my body's going to be changed and transformed, and I'll have a new body, and that's going to be awesome. I'll get to fly. I'm convinced. I fly in my dreams, so I'm convinced I shall fly in heaven. It's interesting that people saw him walking and praising God, but they didn't catch on to what he was doing. Chris expounded us also about a blind man, and they say, Jesus, whose sin was it that made this man blind? Because in the Jewish culture in those days, if somebody was born blind like this man was, it's because somebody sinned. And that man, even from a child, would have walked through his whole life being spat at, despised by the people around him because he represented sin. And of course they stoned sinners to death. So they would have spat at him everywhere he went. And he comes to Jesus and asks for mercy. And how did Jesus heal that guy? He spat on his face. Why? Because he redeemed what was a curse and made it that which healed him. That's our God. That's our God. He touches your whole being. When we walk as the redeemed children of God, we can live from peace. We have peace. That's why I put peace up on the front. For the kingdom of God, Romans 14:17 says, is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So righteousness because he gives his righteousness to us. He makes us clean. Peace because that's who he is. And joy because he prayed that we would have it to fullness. Is your heart full of joy and peace? Because that's what Jesus wants you to have. Psalm 16:11. Actually, we went to a little meeting last night and Julie, who was sharing, read this verse there. You will make known to me, Psalm 16:11, the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Do you want pleasures forevermore? Do you want joy and peace? There it is, in his presence. In John 17, Jesus prayed this, now I come to you, that is coming to the Father, these things I speak in the world, so they may have my joy made full in themselves. There's a bit of leaping for you, having the fullness of joy from God come to you. A couple of chapters before, John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world do I give you. Do not let your heart be troubled, do not let it be fearful. There's a soul that's anxious, there's a soul that's hurt, but he says, let me bring peace. And the peace of God, Philippians 4:7 says, the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension or all understanding, in the King James Version, will guard your hearts and your minds. Oh, hang on, what were we talking about? Hearts, minds, soul. So when he comes to do a healing work in our soul, he gives us the things our soul needs. He gives us peace. He gives us joy. He gives us significance. He calls us a son and calls us a child. Don't tell me you don't want to be significant. We all want significance. And he gives it to us. And he touches the deepest needs of our soul. Enjoy. So peace, what is peace? Peace is the presence of a person. For most people in the world, peace is the absence of something. The absence of noise, I like that. I like the absence of noise, that's peaceful. I quite enjoy that. If we're in the cabin in Sweden, that's very peaceful because all you can hear are the bees. Bees at 100 feet, you can hear the bees because it's so quiet there. To me, that's peaceful, but it isn't peace. How about the absence of war? We talk about peace in the earth, peace on earth and goodwill to all men. And we think, oh, the absence of war then, because that's peace. And they have the symbol of the dove with an olive branch in its mouth is a symbol of peace. Well, certainly we don't want war. We don't want that. We'd rather have a time of peace. But peace isn't the absence of war, it's not the absence of noise, or the absence of people, which sometimes does it for me. I'm that kind of guy, sorry. sometimes, you know, we get home and the grandkids are there, and kids are there, and it's like, and they bring friends with them, and it's just like, I'll go and hide in the bedroom sometimes. It's just the way it is. But Jesus, who is peace, stilled the storm that he slept in. Do you want peace in your life? Then bring the person of Jesus into your life, because he will still whatever storm he's with you in, to the point you could sleep in a storm because Jesus is there. Romans 16:20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. Romans 15:33, now the God of peace be with you all. See, there's a sense of his presence. Let him be with you. When he's with you, he crushes Satan under your feet. Philippians 4:9, practice the things you've learned and received and heard of me, and when you practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may this, your spirit, soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through peace, spirit, soul and body are made whole. Now that the God of peace who brought up, this is Hebrews 13, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord. It's the God of peace who brought up Jesus. We're meant to live in a place of peace and joy. And the last thing I want to talk about is a little bit of hope. We should be the happiest people, the most hope-filled people on planet Earth. They say Disneyland is the happiest place on Earth. How about Broadfield Fellowship should be the happiest place on Earth? Because we should be the most hope-filled people on planet Earth. How many people of your neighbours and your friends do you know that are hope-filled? Or how many people feel hopeless and see their lives just going plateau down, plateau down, plateau down, and don't actually believe that there is a way out? Because when we're without a father, we become orphaned, and when we become orphaned, we think we're a victim. And when we're a victim, we lose hope and our life just crashes down. And there's that verse again, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And then in Romans 15:13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So where's our hope coming from? It's not a trick question. The answer's on the wall. By the power of the Holy Spirit. You will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. But why? Because you're filled with peace and joy, believing who he is, the person who's come into your life. You believe what he says to you. You believe who he is. You believe in his goodness. The moment we doubt his goodness, the moment we'll start to lose hope. The moment we change our theological thinking, our belief system, to line up with our experience instead of lining up with the Word of God, then we'll lose hope. But if we lean into him, we'll be hopeful. I want to say this to you. Any area of your life that isn't filled with hope is an area where you're believing a lie. I'll say that one again. Any area of your life that isn't filled with hope is an area where you're believing a lie.
Sorry,
it's just like... A lie. So we think differently. We think wrongly. And that's because the enemy loves to plant rubbish in our heads. And we believe a lie about the truth, about who we are. So if we don't have hope, it's because we're not seeing the promise of God for us. We're not believing his goodness for us. We're not accepting that. And plenty of stuff comes to us. We've all been there. We all do it. We all get to a place where there's a moment where our heart faints. And we have a choice at that point of coming back to him who is our hope. Now, coming back to peace. I can't remember who it was when we were in the States. I think it was. And he would say, he just, because he believes peace is the presence of Jesus, when suddenly he finds himself rattled by something and he suddenly realizes he's lost his peace. He says, what I do? I say, Holy Spirit, take me back to where I lost it. Literally, it's like finding something. Take me back to where I lost it. And then he realized he had a phone call or something, or some driver cut him out, or whatever it was, where he lost his peace. And he says, then what do you do? You repent. for actually getting the wrong end of the stick, for actually partnering with something that rattled your cage. Actually, we repent and say, sorry, God, I was peaceful and that thing upset me because I stopped believing in who you are for me. I let that circumstance overtake me more than you. He says, so I put it right and I connect with my peace again, and then I go on with the day. And it's the same with hope. We found if there's an area of hopelessness in our lives, we need to say, Holy Spirit, show me where I lost it. And go back. It's where it's good to have people around who will pray with you. Sometimes. It's why we're in a body. Because we can't always do it on our own. But the war is in the mind. Caron's written a piece about spiritual warfare, and the war is in the mind, and it's powers, principalities and powers raging in the second heavens to gain control over our thought life and our mind. But God is greater, God is stronger. The angels he sends to you are better, the power of the word is better, the presence of Jesus is more powerful and stronger than anything the enemy throws at you to try and control your mind. And we have authority over those things. Proverbs 3:5-8 says, and it's quoted actually in Psalms as well, this same piece of scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean to your own understanding. I used that word earlier, didn't I? Lean. I can lean into the Holy Spirit, or I can lean into my own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. So get back to the point where we lost our connection with him. Acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. How cool is that? How is your soul? How is your heart? Do you need to get with the Lord and take yourself back and say, Lord, where did I lose peace? Where have I let go of hope? We could all use a bit more joy. We're too British. It's good to get around a different culture every now and again. Go and join the Warriors of Praise in the afternoon or something, and with earplugs. But yeah, different cultures express life differently. But sometimes we use that as an excuse for not walking and leaping and praising God. But reconnect. Proverbs 3:13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her profit, and her is wisdom, it's kind of personified as a she. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, her gain better than fine gold. She's more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are those who hold her fast. A little dose of wisdom, healing in our mind, getting our thought life right. And there's a lovely scripture in James, if you say you lack wisdom, it's an easy fix. Ask God. Ask God. And look at the benefits that come. Peace to our soul. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that your power came to rescue us. All, body, soul and spirit, every part of us, you came to bring healing to us. And we know, we recognize, we're not all walking in the fullness of everything you have for us. And we want the more. We want to honor you. We want to honor your sacrifice. We want to say, Jesus, you died for this. You deserve to have what you died for. And we want to submit our body, soul and spirit. We want to love you. Our Lord, our God, with all our mind, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our being, we want to love you as you commanded us to. That you would receive in us the reward of your suffering. Help us, Lord, to walk in hope, to live in your presence and peace, and to express joy so that those around us would know that you are God, that you are alive. That you are the God who has a heart for the brokenhearted, who binds up the brokenhearted, who sets the captives free. Let us be the people you call us to be. and walk in honour for you.